You're listening to Next Level E-Commerce.
It's a really disruptive revolution that's happening right now. We should not underestimate what's going on here.
It all hit so fast.
I just looked at them all and I'm like, this is it. This is like, I've made it.
I had a victim mindset. It's like, I only had one option.
Now I'm like the opposite. I'm like, F the hustle. I don't want to hustle ever again.
8 months before I sold my business, Amazon told me, we're going to shut down your account. You have 30 days.
If you really want to build generational wealth, leverage other people's money and continue buying, exiting, buying, exiting.
Each week, we feature inspiring stories from entrepreneurs who have taken their business to the next level. They share successes and failures and what kept them going when they felt like giving up. And here's your host, Isaac Smith.
Welcome back to Next Level E-Commerce. It's really great to be with you again. You know, even though we're not releasing episodes every week now, you should know that we're not going anywhere. I'm taking a more relaxed approach to my production schedule, but we're still here and giving you great content long into the future. That's the plan. And I've got a great episode for you today. It's actually a very special episode, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. But before we get into that, do you know what today is? Well, it's February. And you know what that means. It's SEO month. Wait, you didn't know? Well, that's okay, because I didn't either. And I just made the whole thing up. But yes, we are making February SEO month. And I'm going to tell you why. So all month, we're delivering great content about SEO, organic traffic, organic sales for your e-commerce business through the podcast, through my company's social channels, and through email. But hang on a second. Why SEO and why now? February of all months. Well, here's the honest truth. It's because of what I've seen in working with our bookkeeping customers over the past year. And you know as well as I do, I don't really need to tell you, but there are a lot of challenges and new challenges right now that have been going on for the past year in e-commerce. And I'm sure you're experiencing it yourself. And I think nearly everyone is experiencing these three things. One, supply chain is difficult, getting the products that your customers want to them. Two, because of that, revenue hasn't grown as much as expected. And in fact, for many, his revenue has actually declined. And we're going to talk about that in this episode. And three, ad costs are spiking way up, in some cases making jumps of 2x or more. So if you're advertising on Google or Facebook, right, you know this. And so you combine all of these things, and the bottom line profit for many e-commerce businesses right now, sad to say, looks pretty grim. Not everybody, but you know, it's tough out there. And I've been seeing this coming for roughly 9 months now, and I've been trying to sound the alarm with our customers. And with our customers, we've been making two main recommendations. First, diversify your supply chain. If you're having trouble getting the products from your suppliers, spend more time and energy getting different suppliers and better suppliers and suppliers in other locations with better logistics. Second, focus on SEO, organic traffic and sales, because reduced revenue combined with increased ad spend is a terrible combination. You've probably seen it yourself. ROAS has crapped the bed. And the trouble is, I've been telling people about this, and it's kind of frustrating because they haven't been taking very much action. And honestly, that's hard to watch. You know, we do have a much broader view than most, you know, individual business owners who are focused on their businesses. We see a lot of businesses. And so I feel like I do have to sound that alarm. And I think it's partly just because they don't know what to do to grow their organic traffic and sales. So I decided to do something about it, to bring high-level, actionable content to you and the community all the month of February. So that's why SEO and why now. This I'm really speaking from the heart here. And to deliver this content to you, I teamed up with my friend and returning podcast guest, John Murphy. Of course, because I'm not the SEO guy. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the ability to teach it. I don't know that much about it. But he is. John's the expert practitioner, if you will. So I brought him back on the show today. But more than that, he's helping me create the content that we're putting out throughout the month. Now, if you don't remember, John's been on the show 3 times before. He's told his story. He's given us updates on his journey that went from being the one guy that did everything to being really the CEO of his business, from going working 110 hours a week to 10. It's amazing. And it's been really great to watch his progress. You can go back and listen to those previous episodes if you want to. Now, let me briefly share how John and I are going to help you out this month. We have a couple of things going on. First, we've written a series of emails that will walk you through step by step how to get started and making progress on your SEO, getting those organic sales, which if you do take the action that is list that we write out in the emails, that should help you generate more revenue, right? More traffic, more revenue. And now that revenue is free revenue. Remember, because you're not spending any money on your spiking ad costs, right? That's the whole point. And as you'll find out in our conversation today, John has just launched a course for e-commerce businesses to help them walk them through in depth, the step-by-steps, really down to the nitty-gritties on building a solid SEO plan and taking that action. So John has built a multi-million dollar e-commerce business on the back of SEO, and he's giving his formula out in that course. So again, we have these two things for you this month. Free information, fundamentals and tips that you can get in the email. I highly suggest you get that, and you can get it by signing up at summitecommerce.co/SEO month. Again, that's summitecommerce.co/SEO month. And by the way, if you don't remember, Summit E-Commerce Advisors is my company. And you can also check out John's course at ecomseomethod.com. That's ecomseomethod.com. So again, you have two great options and you can do one or both, but I really strongly suggest you do at least one of them, because we're going to see this coming year that SEO is going to become more and more important to e-commerce businesses. So again, you can get the emails by going to summitecommerce.co/SEO month. And you can check out John's course, which we'll talk about in this conversation, at ecomseomethod.com. Okay, now let's get right into the conversation. And we're not just going to talk about John's course, and we're not just going to talk about SEO either. We're going to hear his challenges over the past year. I think a lot of them you're going to be able to relate to, and what he's doing about them, and a whole lot more. So let's get into it. Please give a warm, hearty welcome back to the podcast to John Murphy. John, welcome back, man. So glad to have you here again.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, I think this is now a record. This is your fourth time on the show, I think.
Yeah, this is our third conversation. And then we had the multiple guest roundup. I think it was episode 50.
100.
Ourselves, John, yeah. 100, John yeah. Warren and Ian Bond. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, so I guess we're going to talk about a few things. But for the listeners, they love hearing updates from you. I think you've inspired a lot of people, especially from, you know, that first episode where you were just working like crazy, and then then you went and you hired a coach and you reduced your working hours. You know, it's what everybody wants. And so I think people really connect with that. So last time you came on the 100th episode, that was back in spring. I don't even remember the date, but how you been? What's been going on with you, your business, your life since then?
Yeah, well, it's been busy. I mean, apart from, so the store has been pretty much on autopilot since then, just because I've been cruising at about 90% out of stock rate since March 2020. So the store can only do as much as it can do, really. So we haven't seen any growth this year. So I'm sort of just waiting to get the year over. So I did like 3.1 million last year in revenue, and I might land around the same again this year, but it's just because demand is through the roof and we just don't have anything to sell anybody. So they're just waiting for the supply chain issue to get resolved and all of the ships, parked out at sea to get the containers down. And then maybe by spring next year, when season starts again, we can start selling some product and then have a record year next year. Everything I was supposed to do, all of my goals, like, was for this year. Now it's all like, okay, yeah, it looks like it's going to be 2022 realistically, just because it was just hard to sell stuff that just, gets more expensive and still isn't in stock. So for the store, it's been pretty stale, it's been on autopilot. I have my team managing the day to day. So I've been, I've just been sort of letting it hasn't been coasting. I mean, we've been doing pretty well. I've been focusing on other stuff. We've just moved home, which was, it's it's not always the most pleasant experience. So we moved home. My dog just died, which is a bummer. So he was my work at home, my remote companion for 12 years, but, so he's gone. And we've just moved home, and then in a bizarre twist between September and now, I decided to launch a new business, launched it, and it's just out in the wild. So lots of crazy, unexpected twists and changes and developments. So it's been unpredictable and a bit chaotic.
Yeah, I can see that. I've experienced, of course, some of that as well. But I think it's funny, this last year, that as, as I was going to say, as terrible as that is, I don't really know the right way to say it, but like, this seems to be a common, like, just everything is in, I wouldn't quite say chaos, but just weird life events just continually is kind of like the normal now.
Yeah. And even the things that we thought that would be resolved last year, they everything just seems to twist and become a new problem. It's weird. So we just have to accept that it is the way it is and everybody else is in the same boat. And we just need to, try to figure out how to hunker down and come out stronger. Hopefully that means January or February next year. But I said that last year, so we'll see how we'll see how early next year looks. Yeah. I'm optimistic though.
Yeah. I guess for a little bit of context for those listening, we're recording this at the end of November, and this will probably air in January. So if we're saying next year, that's why.
Oh, yeah. This year.
But yeah, I've been thinking about that. So the supply chain thing, is really affecting you and everybody else, of course. Have you thought about how long you're willing to wait? Like we're saying, hopefully next year or hopefully however long. And the stores, your business is doing well currently. But I wonder if you one of the things I've been talking with other people about is diversifying income streams. Well, of course, you're doing with the new business, and we'll talk about that a bit later. But I wonder if you've thought about that within your current e-commerce business, like generating income in other ways.
Diversifying income is one of those things that I always think about, because I do always feel like, yeah, this is great, this is doing well, but it's one source of income. I don't have that inner fear anymore. That for the first 2 years that I was doing dropshipping, the more success I had, the more fearful I was of it all just going away overnight. Yeah. And then as I started to mature a bit in e-commerce, I started to realize, and a lot of the help came from my coach to make me realize that this is a real business. It's not going to go away overnight. Just keep putting the work in. And yes, there may be some ups and downs, but it's not just going to like go up in smoke, because it's not some sort of, snake oil business. It's a real business. And it can thrive. But that said, it would also be nice to, eventually have three streams of income. I just like the whole concept of having a three-legged stool. Each leg is a different stream of income. And what that looks like, that can change in my head from time to time. I have the e-commerce store. I created an affiliate website, which I'm now my second strongest affiliate to my own store. So that could be a separate business in itself, because it's a WordPress blog website. It refers sales to my e-commerce store, and I just don't pay myself the commission. So that's how the business model works right now. But that's an asset. I could sell that. Mm-hmm. I could just detach them completely and refer to other products. And then that's an affiliate marketing business all on its own. I do like also the idea of maybe next year starting another store in a different niche that's probably less seasonal, and maybe some sort of an emerging market. But I have those ideas all the time. And so I haven't really thought it too, I haven't gone too far down those rabbit holes just yet.
How about this? Your current business, the main store, it has assets, right? You have a customer list, you have people who trust you. How about start doing email marketing and affiliates? Like the example that I always use that's really easy is like if you sell grills, maybe sell affiliate subscription to ButcherBox, that sort of thing. Have you thought about inside of your store?
Yeah. So not only have I thought about it, I've implemented it.
Oh, really?
Let's say I've experimented with it. I haven't seen any rewards. I haven't seen any sort of return on that experiment. But that doesn't, obviously that's not to say that doesn't work, because I know people that do it very well. So I decided I would give it a try. So my demographic are, American male hunters, like 50 plus. And, there is actually there's a website called bookyourhunt.com. And if you want to go on a hunt and you book through them, they're sort of like a travel agency, but for hunting trips. If you want to go to Alaska for like a 3-day trip, you book with them, you choose the type of animal you want to go after. I'm not a hunter, so the details are a bit lost on me, but like if you want to go on a hunting trip and you can book through this platform, and they're affiliated with all of the local guides and, hunting, lodges and stuff. And bookyourhunt.com actually do offer like an affiliate commission, and hunting trips are very expensive. So I do have a sort of okay, now you've got all of your hunting gear. Are you ready for to book your next trip? And then here's how to do it. And then, but I think that's been running for a year and I haven't got one referral sale. So I'm doing something wrong. Well, maybe I'm shooting too high. You know, maybe I should be looking for something a little easier.
Yeah. Well, that was exactly my first thought was, that sounds like a long sales process, right? So people have got to think like, well, do I even want to go? Where would I want to go? When would I want to go? And then, you know, take a while to think about that. But yeah, like if there was some related accessory that you don't sell, or if there was some, I don't know hunters. So, you know,
yeah,
what other services or like courses? Yeah. I don't know. Do hunters have courses?
There is actually, I do know a guy. He's like the 2-time world elk calling champion, guy named Corey Jacobson. He's a big deal in elk hunting circles. And I did reach out to him actually because I figured, you know, people want to, you know, take his course on how to learn elk calling, like the actual producing the sound to, you know, call elk in. Didn't really get anywhere. We didn't really, you know, that didn't pan out. But there are always opportunities. And I think because I've just been sort of a little bit disappointed with how the year is going because of all the supply chain issues and, you know, and the whole idea of trying to upsell somebody when they're going to be waiting for like 4 months to receive the first thing that they bought from me. I just felt like I was a bit distant, you know, I was like almost like 1 degree away from the business. Just because I was like, okay, the year's not going to go. I had big ambitions this year. I was supposed to do around 6 million this year. And the numbers were looking like that until April. Then the wheels fell off, you know, as with everybody else. And I think just on the second half of the year, I just sort of thought, okay, it's not going to change for the rest of the year. Let's just get the year over. And then in January, I'll start again. So I do think that, you know, lots of things have changed in my life as well, the new house and stuff. So I think I do feel like in January, I'm just going to go in and I'm going to have this new reinvigorated approach to focus and get back down to scaling the business. And those are the sort of things that then, you know, come into my mind when I'm open to the ideas. But I haven't really been open to those ideas just recently, just because of, you know, all of the things going on, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. I think on your second appearance on the show, you were talking about how you had finally built a team. You were resistant to building the team. And so just a minute ago, you said, your team's taking care of the day-to-day. So I'm curious what your team looks like these days.
So now my team, I've got 3 guys on customer service. Mm-hmm. I could do it with 2. I really could, but I had the idea of opening a second store and then moving one of the guys over to the new store because it wouldn't get the sort of traffic. That sort of just crashed and burned within like a couple of weeks. I just realized, I'm getting distracted. No point in doing that. But I kept all 3 guys because I wanted to nurture the guys. And then, you know, it's nice to have sort of one guy there's always 2 people on shift. And so I've got 3 guys in customer service doing basically all of the day-to-day stuff where they answer the phone, they answer the live chat, they respond to emails, they take orders over the phone, they place the orders with the suppliers, they mark all of the tracking. You know, they do all of the stuff that gets very overwhelming once you start making a lot of sales and get a lot of traffic. So they're on top of that 7 days a week, which is fantastic. I've got a guy that runs all of my paid traffic. So I don't do a lot of paid traffic just because most of my traffic, like it's 75 to 80% of my sales and traffic is organic just because of my, you know, I think we talked about my previous experiences where I was banned for 2 years from Google and Facebook. So organic became my whole method. But late last year, I got back into traffic. I got back in the back door with Google and Facebook. So I started running ads again and I forgot to set up an ad. And I really didn't want to go back to trying to learn how to do it. So I brought a guy in and he manages all of my Facebook and Google paid traffic. And then I've got this, in Italy, they call it a jolly. It's sort of like this one specific guy who sort of, it's sort of an undefinable role, but you just wouldn't be able to function without the guy, right? Mm-hmm. So he's like me 2 years ago, where I was like in the trenches coming up with all these fantastic ideas and like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And he's like me 2 years ago, only better. So now he works for me, coming up with all of the ideas, and then we just brainstorm wow. all of these ideas. But it could be everything. Like he'll go and like, he'll come to me and say, hey, John, you know how we've been doing X, Y, and Z, you know, to get organic traffic, or we've been doing this to get a backlink. And I've been looking at this other idea, you know, that Brian Dean, for example, has been talking about this new backlink strategy. I think we should really try it. And I'm like, okay, knock yourself out. Let's give it a month and see how it plays out. And then we'll look at the results and go, yeah, that's a winner. Roll with that. And then he'll just, you know, he'll just take all of the ideas and then just throw them. So like we've been able to get a lot of clarity on what works and what doesn't work, because he's very much a visionary, but he's such a hustler that he'll also implement the stuff as well. Mm. So he's great. It's like having like a second me, only he has like, he still has that desire to like, yeah, let's do this, let's do that, let's do, you know, whereas I'm a bit more,
lost my will to live.
No, I'm a bit more. I don't want to say mature, because that's not it. It's just I've just been around the block a little longer, and I'm a little bit tired of like trying a new backlink experiment. You know, like if it's working, let's just keep doing that. But without him, I wouldn't have come across all of the new ways of getting backlinks or new collaboration possibilities and with, you know, with people in the hunting niche, that sort of thing. So I wouldn't even have a title for what he does, but he's like an irreplaceable person in my team. So I'm the better for it. So
wow.
And that's what my team looks like, basically.
Mm. So there's four of you, or four of them, and
five of them. Yeah. Paid traffic.
Okay.
The creative, I'll call him like a, I don't know.
The jolly
creative.
I like the jolly.
jolly. Yeah. And the three guys in customer service, keeping everything running.
How did you find this jolly?
Yeah, well, basically, so he's from India, and he's also a dropshipper, but he has a US store. And the US dollar Indian rupee conversion is brutal if you're on the wrong end of that conversion. So basically he was really eager, really, really ambitious. But he just couldn't get out of the gates, because he didn't have the funds to run paid traffic to like in USD, because starting out, you know, you have to start investing in paid ads, because that's the quickest way to get it for sale. But I mean, when you're in India, you can just drop like $1,000 your first month, because that's a car. So basically he reached out to me, and in the beginning he was like, you know, teach me what you know about SEO and I'll do X, Y, and Z for you. I'll do this on your website. I know a little bit coding. I know. And honestly, I don't think he knew any of that stuff, but he was willing to figure it out to just exchange his time for my knowledge. And then the more we did that, it was just, let's just make it official, you know, let's just call it what it is. You work for me and you can do all of your other store, you know, there's no conflict of interest or whatever, but just I'll pay you the same amount every month and we'll just have these challenges together. We'll figure it out. So, and he's been an absolute rock star. He will soon outgrow me. There's no question about it, but as long as he's on the team, I'm better off. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. Now that you said that, I remember you talked about him on a previous episode.
Mm-hmm. And I'm still talking about him in the same way.
Yeah. So. I asked you to drop his name, I think. And you're like, no way.
Yeah. No. No, but also because he doesn't want me to. He doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Shout out. You know who you are. Cool, man. So let's get into the SEO stuff. You were telling, of course, we chat every now and then. You've built this business largely on SEO because you got banned from the major advertising platforms, and you just kind of had to figure it out. It was a brutal few months at the beginning, but you know, clearly you're better for it. And so let's get into the new business. What, first of all, what is it? And why did you create it?
So it wasn't a plan. I definitely wasn't planning on doing this. I even have a blog where I say, I will not sell a course. I'm just blogging here just to, you know, share my ideas. So I have to go back and edit my blog website now about e-commerce, because that looks like a lie. I've just created an SEO course for e-commerce store owners, for people that are too reliant on paid traffic like I was. Because when in 2019, when I got banned from Google and Facebook, I just convinced my wife that I could quit my job, my day job, because everything was going fine. And, you know, I'd had, many multiple months with like a certain amount of profit. And that was sort of like the benchmark to have the conversation. And then all my traffic went away. And it was like, oh, crap, I'm never going to be able to quit my job. And now I resent my job because I was so close to quitting. And it was a rough few months. It was really, really rough. And I think when it happens to other people, that's when they quit, just because it's a very dark place. It's very hard to figure out how you come out of that when all you know is you build a website, you get suppliers, and you start running Google Shopping ads. And then later you start running, you know, Facebook retargeting or remarketing. But if Google and Facebook just cut the cord and say, no, thank you, what do you do? So, you know, I went in deep in SEO and I managed to turn it around. And I think I basically went to zero in June 2019, zero traffic. It was like less than 10 visitors a day because I didn't have any organic traffic. So I decided I was going to learn SEO and get organic traffic pretty quickly. And by September, I was making more sales and getting more traffic than I was when I was running paid traffic. Because I was getting about, I think before June, I was at about 20,000 visitors a month. And then by September, I was about 35, 40,000 a month, but all organic. And I was making the same or more in revenue. And that was just the beginning. Because once you start, you know, putting SEO into place, it takes a long time, but it accumulates over time. So what you do this year and you do, I don't know, let's say you do $200,000 or $300,000 in organic traffic, from your sales from organic traffic, those same pieces of content will probably do you $5 or $6 or $1 million in revenue the next year, even though you wrote them last year. So it just keeps building. So you add more content and it just becomes this fantastic wheel. How it came about was a bit weird because, you know, we were supposed to, I don't know, were you going to go to the e-commerce retreat in Lisbon this year in September?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I was really looking forward to it. I actually went to Lisbon after.
So the event got canceled, as you know. It got canceled for 2 years in a row, which really sucks because I wanted to see everybody because it's a fantastic community. And I was supposed to be a guest speaker for the event. And I was going to basically... So in 2020, before the first time it was canceled, my talk was supposed to be how John generates 100,000 in organic sales every month. And then this year it was going to be how John, because of the accumulative effect of SEO. So it got canceled in 2020, 2021, it was going to happen in September. So the talk was actually going to be how John does 200K every month, because my numbers just got bigger with the same pieces of content. I hadn't added any extra content at the time. Awesome. Or very, very little. And again, COVID, you know, as everybody knows, sucks. So the event was canceled at last minute. And, you know, because the event organizers really wanted to make it happen, and it just wasn't to be. And while I was in Lisbon, because my wife and I actually made the trip, we traveled around, we rented a little Fiat 500, you know, little Italian car, it's fantastic. And we just basically drove around Portugal. And I kept thinking, if I'd given that talk, like obviously it was going to be for free. I was just going to, you know, share my playbook of what I do, how I get backlinks and how I, you know, build affiliates to then refer me traffic and all that stuff. If I had given that to like the 100 people that were there and then all of the people that watched the recordings afterwards, they would have been so much better off next year if they'd have just implemented some of that work. And I was thinking, like, it sounds very cliche, but it was awesome. It was almost a crime not to share it. And then I've got this, my business coach who isn't an e-commerce guy. He's a agency guy for getting clients and selling services. And he's in my head for the last 6 months going, hey, you have to do a course because not everybody knows how to do this. This is gold. You know how much people would be better off if they could just do what you do. I was like, yeah, but I don't want to do a course, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of September, I had the presentation done. So I thought, well, maybe I could just, you know, extend it out, add the backlink section to it, explain how I scale using the agency approaches that I learned in 2X last year. And so I just decided to package it all up and then just see what happens. I haven't even figured out how to market it yet. So, but it's good. I mean, it's basically everything I do. It's not everything everybody does. It's basically everything I've done and everything that's worked and everything I still do today. So I've sort of just packaged it up into a few modules and then a few extra bonus videos just to make it, you know, really valuable to whoever actually goes through the whole thing. And so just by sort of weird coincidence or, you know, unexpected turn of events, I created a course and, so now I've got a new business to figure out.
That's awesome. I love it. You know, I never thought I'd be in the bookkeeping space, you know. I love how these twists and turns happen. So let's I guess talk a bit about so that's why you created it, which of course, you know, if you're listening, right, I like that thought process. If you had been able to impart this knowledge and someone had taken action on it, like they would have had these results. But you're right. It is like, you know, people are worse off not taking action. So we've talked a bit about the stuff that you do for SEO. But people ask me about it. Oh, before we get into it, I want to get into like what is like in the course. But one of the things that I've noticed, so like you were smacked really hard early on with paid traffic, shut your accounts down. Mm-hmm. And I know people are experiencing those things continually. But
it seems
of course,
to be
not everybody
more
does
now as well.
Yeah, especially
just
Facebook.
You know, reading all of those Facebook comments.
Yeah,
Facebook and also the Merchant Center accounts in Google. It's like you just as soon as you set up an account, boom, you're suspended, and people are like, I wasn't even finished setting it up, and who do I talk to? So now it seems to be happening more, or maybe it's just on my radar more now because you know I'm sort of you know conscious of it, but. It feels like it's happening more and more often now.
I think it is. I've been seeing it more in the last year or two, especially. Oh, dang it. I lost my train of thought. where was that going? Oh, right. The other thing that I've been seeing, and we were chatting a little bit about this before we hit record. And I've been thinking about how to share this with the broader community and the audience, but we do bookkeeping, so we can see everybody's numbers. And if you're listening and you've been thinking, wow, my advertising costs have gone up over time. Yeah, you're not alone. That's because they have. And we've seen across the board, you know, huge increases people are spending on PPC, Google. And, well, our communities, I think people we serve spend more on Google than they do on Facebook. But I think it's, well, there's a couple challenges, right? Google has become more expensive, Google Shopping especially. And then Facebook has, you know, with the iOS updates, has become less effective. But the result is people are spending more. And as you noted, after spring and summer, for some people, most stores have taken a bit of a decline in sales. And, you know, there are broader economic circumstances that we can't control. But I wanted to share with those listening, ad costs are up, revenues are down. That's not a good combination. And so what we've been advising our bookkeeping customers to do is, well, use that information, spend less, and focus more on SEO. I think now is the time for SEO. That's really what I wanted to get to. I've been telling this to people, but I think sometimes people have a hard time hearing that.
Well, because it's not a silver bullet. You have to do a lot of work and you don't see the rewards immediately.
Right.
And you don't even sometimes, because SEO, it's not rocket science. Even everything in my course, you know, it's really not difficult. It's not rocket science. It's just now I know it works because I sort of had to figure it out. But if somebody wants to go and learn or, you know, just start writing content and start trying to get backlinks and trying to make, you know, collaborations work and stuff, it can feel like you're doing a lot of work and you don't even know if it's going to pay off. While you could just increase your ad budget a little bit and hope it pays off. Whereas Google Shopping is kind of like the silver bullet, because if you do it properly, you know, you're getting warm leads to your product pages. And then if you're doing everything else right in your store, a certain amount of them will actually convert. Whereas SEO and, you know, content marketing, it just seems, for a lot of people, it just seems so vague. And where do I begin? What type of content? What should I do? And then they start reading about what is SEO and what's good. And then they figure, oh, maybe I should just hire an agency and do it for me. And then a lot of the agencies, then they're content farms where they just use AI to produce poor content that doesn't really rank because it's not geared towards e-commerce and getting people to product pages. Because when you produce content for an e-commerce store, it's not the same as if you're blogging or you're writing for an affiliate marketing website. There are some things that I need to adapt from affiliate marketing to e-commerce to get people from to a product, to a collection page, or to a content piece, and then to a product page, and then not to send them anywhere else, but just keep them getting closer to that checkout. But I think for a lot of people, there are two things. It seems quite vague and abstract, and it's hard to figure out. And because you don't see the rewards immediately, even if you do put the work in, and it is hard work, you don't know if it's going to work. So people go, well, screw that. You know, I'm just going to focus on paid traffic and make it work. You know, try to get a better return on that. So a lot of people just neglect it. And if you do neglect it, and then the ban hammer comes down, you're going to wish you started SEO like 12 months ago or 6 months ago. Yeah, it's tough because I was there too. I opened my store in mid 2017. I only made like two sales that year because I really didn't know what I was doing, but I was running ads. And then in 2018, I was profitable, but it was like not great. You know, it wasn't anything to write home about. But because it was profitable, I was just thinking, okay, I just need to figure out how to get more sales from the ads I'm running. But it wasn't really on my radar that I need to be able to, you know, want to, you know, get free traffic. Because also, like my many courses, not all courses, some courses are fantastic, but some courses will also just like, obviously, because if you're a course creator and you're teaching e-commerce or high ticket drop shipping, obviously you want to teach people Google Shopping because that's the fastest way to your first sale and to your 10th sale and to your like 100th sale, because it's the best way to get warm traffic to your website, and you know, and it works. It's a proven process and it works. And also because you also want to your clients, the people that take your course, to get results quickly, so they see that the process works and they trust you, and that they know that you're not selling snake oil. Because a lot of people, you know, can get disheartened when they try a new business model, then they think, oh, screw this, you know, this doesn't work, and then they quit. So teaching people Google Shopping is the best way to do it when you're teaching an e-commerce course, because that is the fastest straight line to your first sale. And then you just have to try to, you know, rinse and repeat. But SEO is absolutely fundamental if you want to diversify your traffic, increase the value of your store, so because you're reliant on one or two paid channels, and have a really healthy business where the cost of acquisition is really low. Because if the majority of your traffic and sales are coming from organic, I think I spend maybe $2,000 a month on traffic, but I'll do 3 million this year, you know? Like, I know people are spending like $20,000 a month and they're not doing the same revenue I am, you know? So, you know, what's left at the end of the month for them?
Yeah.
You know, because it's Google Shopping or nothing. And that's scary. That's scary for me now because of what I went through. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I can totally see that. You know, I'm thinking of one of our bookkeeping customers in particular, who the advertising, the Google ads expense was getting so high that we recommended that she reduce her spend, which is scary. And, you know, because you think you're going to reduce your revenue. And that happened. Yeah. But, you know, what are we in this for? Are we in this for revenue numbers that we don't see trickle down into that profit line? Or are we here for profit? And so, you know, I don't want to speak too much to this one example, but, you know, her revenue did reduce, but her profit, I'm not the one who's in there doing the books, but I just know the outcome is didn't really affect her too much. Yeah, the profit was a little bit lower, I think. But you know,
it's also easier to sleep at night as well when you're spending a few grand instead of a few tens of thousands of you know, on ad spend, because you think, wow. You know, if I don't make sales this month, you know, how long can I keep it up? But if you've got your ad spend down to like, you know, single digit thousands, you know, $1,000 to $5,000 a month, and you can turn it off if you want to, because you've got organic sales, you have that option. But if you're completely reliant on paid traffic, and it's out of whack because you're spending a lot, it's kind of hard to get out of that, you know, to get off the wheel, because you think, okay, once I turned it off, you know, okay, fine, but I've got no traffic, I've got no sales. So then what? So it's, obviously a combination of all of the above, like some organic, some paid, but different types of paid, you know, just is a lot more sane for the business as well. Obviously you don't want to be all completely reliant just on one. But when guys in my mastermind are saying, yeah, I spent like 20 grand this month and they're doing maybe similar revenue than I am, I'm like, that's a lot of money. Like, just a drop on ads. I've never spent that much money. I would feel really uncomfortable if that happened. I think once this year I was trying to do some experimenting in Facebook with some cold, like 1950 style print advertising, but in a 21st century twist, where I used some old Ogilvy marketing strategies in cold traffic to Facebook, just to see what would happen. And I think my ad spend went to like 5,000. And I was like, that made me really uncomfortable. Whereas all my guys are going, 5 grand? Yeah, I spent that last week. So no, I'm very happy that I don't need to spend that much money on paid.
I think you mentioned that in our 100th episode. You said you were studying Ogilvy.
How I still have those ads running.
How did that go?
I mean, it's really good. So, I mean, you know, Ogilvy is responsible for some of the most iconic 1950s, 1960s print ads. And he has this one specific Rolls Royce ad in a newspaper. It's long form, but the image is basically just this epic Rolls Royce on the side of the road. And it says, at 60 miles per hour, the only noise you can hear from this Rolls Royce is the electric clock. And it's just, okay. So it just paints this whole, and then there's a bunch of long form of like all of the reasons why this is the best car in the world. But obviously in a Facebook creative, you can't put in like 2000 words of text, but I figured I would create the image just to see if that's enough to get people to click and then go read the content. And I would send them to my blog where I talk about, the best products this year and stuff like that. So it's going pretty well. I mean, I've decided that that's a sunk cost because I get people in, I run a giveaway. If people want to win a free product, they add their email. And if not, I've pixeled them on Facebook, So I can either retarget them on Facebook based on if they read the blog or not, or for how long they've read the blog or not. Or if they do enter the giveaway, I've got their email. So I'm getting people I actually don't even know how profitable it is because I don't even know how to use Facebook Business Manager. It makes my head hurt. But for me, it's a sunken cost. I'm happy to spend money there just to get people to the website and pixel them and capture their email and just have lots of people commenting on Facebook when they see the ad. Like now it's been running for months and has like thousands of comments and likes and, so it's so I've like I've got like two or three different ads running, just different visuals, but I'm in a sort of a privileged place that because I don't have huge ad spend costs, I can decide let's throw $1,000 into this a month for now, and if it looks like a really bad idea 3 months later, we'll just turn it off. It's all about just, sort of getting people to the website. So I think it's working okay. I mean, it does actually convert sales. It does sell bikes. So so that's, hunters are there and they're looking at it and going, oh, never thought about that concept before. So, so it does work. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it as your get sales strategy because it's cold traffic. They never heard of you. They never even missed the concept. But it's just about getting people to the website.
Mm, that's cool. Going back to the what I was saying earlier, I really do enjoy doing what I do now versus my own e-commerce business. I love to be involved with people and helping them, advising them, stuff like that. And going back to like what we were talking about, because we do get to see such a broad a swath of e-commerce businesses, it's not just our opinion, right? Paid ads it is getting more expensive. It's getting less effective. And so that's what we have been talking with people about is exactly what you were saying. Like SEO is something that, we all know it's going to take a while to kick in, but especially if you're like you, John, have a bit of a sales slump because, supply chain is having issues and you expect it to come back soon or within a few months, like it's a really good time to now start putting in the work with SEO, in expectation that by the time that works itself out, your SEO will be really, you'll have gone through that, whatever ranking process or however long it takes and will be ready to kick in the sales. So I really do think it's a good time to be doing this.
Yeah. Like the best time to start SEO is yesterday. Second best time is today. Because it does take time. It took me, I started, you know, writing some content at the, you know, back then in, it was February 2019. I wasn't doing it to get organic traffic. I just thought an e-commerce store needs a blog section because there's the whole Shopify blog section. Okay, I should probably write some content. But because I'd started in February, when in June I got shut down, I figured, okay, how do I turn this into my traffic? And then by September, you know, I was doing better than ever. So it does take months. But to get like real, real, really big numbers, it takes a year plus, 1 year, 2 years. But you can see traffic and sales within months if you know what you're doing. I think just the biggest concern is people think, okay, I could do all this. I could do spend the next 3 to 6 months doing this. But what if I'm doing it wrong? Then yeah. I have to start all over again. So I'm not gonna make a point of saying, but if you had a course, you wouldn't make it, because that seems a bit cheesy. But you know what I mean? Like because I understand the concern, because when people reach out to me on Facebook every day, like on Messenger, people from the drop shipping community and stuff, and they ask me for my opinion about should I do this or should I do that? And then sometimes even technical questions like should I link to a collection page or a product page, or you know, so I can tell people are more aware of the scenario now that it needs to happen. But there is a big cloud over like, where do I begin? And is this, am I going in the right direction? Because I don't want to take this path and then 6 months turn around and realize I'm not getting any traffic because I didn't go in the right direction. So I just think there's that sort of a fear aspect of, you know, putting the work in and not seeing any rewards.
You just reminded me of one of my huge failures. I've had this experience back when I was doing my e-commerce journey. I would go on these big projects. I would get this great idea and say like, I'm going to do this. And then I'd spend a month, two or three months really focused in on that. And just try to do it right. But I wouldn't have any real guidance. I just like, this is what I think I should be doing, and just would have no results. And then look back like, oh gosh, all this wasted time. And so actually the biggest example of this, it was when I heard about content marketing. I heard a talk, and this guy went through this framework of, here's how you get the writers, here's how you get the editors, you do this, this, and this. This is the process. So I spent 3 months and I built a team out, and they were doing what I thought was really excellent work. And this is maybe the first example of what my skills are and what they aren't. Because the team was doing great. I hired a writer, I hired an editor, I hired a data entry person to get the blog on the website, and an illustrator. And they were pumping out 2 blog posts a week. It was going to my email list. They were writing emails, sending it. They were doing a Facebook post, posting that 2 a week without my involvement. I was like, oh, this is awesome. But you know what? That it was fairly expensive. And there was some important thing that I was just missing. And it didn't result in sales. And yeah. I don't know what it was. I still to this day, I'm not sure. I guess it was like, I didn't quite get I didn't know how to get, okay. So I actually increased traffic. I can see that. But I didn't know how to then convert that traffic into a sale. And so like 3, 4 months, 5 months go by, I'm spending this money. I have a really nice looking blog. So I think that's building credibility, but it's not resulting in sales, I don't think. And so I just had to shut it all down, say, thanks for your work, everybody. Gotta let
you. And then you're less likely to try again because it didn't work.
Yeah. Well, I never did another blog post again.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is a real concern because people go, yeah, I should do SEO or I should get some content on my website. They do content and then they go and look in their analytics and they say that, you know, the content isn't ranking, it doesn't bring any traffic, and they're like, why am I paying anybody to do that? So, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'd better put that money into Google Shopping Ads or something, and then they're back to not getting any organic traffic. So it's sort of a vicious circle. So that's why if you have like a path, like here's what you should do, follow this process, then at least it sort of takes all of the guesswork out, you know? I mean, it just makes it easier.
Yeah. You know, I am much happier doing what I do now than doing e-commerce. But it's funny now that, I mean, this is just, I'm just realizing this for the first time. I was really good at building that team. And that's really what I'm doing now. I'm not doing any bookkeeping, but I'm building our team. And yeah. So it's kind of cool to have that realization. So I do want to hear, like, so what is in this course of yours? How is it structured? What are the, I guess, the topics and how is it going to help people who are needing help with SEO?
So the way I structured the course was, so I came up with 4 modules and then some bonus lessons. And the bonus lessons are basically things that may not be immediately directly to organic traffic, but I figured it helps. So they, and I threw that in as well. So I've got the first module is on how to build what's called skyscraper content and how to build a cluster or silo of secondary content that then Google is able to understand and read. So it sort of identifies the skyscraper piece of content as the authority piece on the website. So you, there's a strategy of internally linking from secondary pieces of content to the skyscraper without linking randomly all over the place. Google's able to crawl the website, read the content. And what happens is, so in I can, if I just divert maybe a little bit, what I found was affiliate marketers, what they do is their whole goal is to get traffic. But a big thing for them is to keep people on the website because time on page increases rankings. And then the higher rankings they get, the more traffic they get. And then they also monetize by paid ads on the website, like Advine and Google Ad Choice, that sort of thing, like actual, you know, display ads. And that's a way they monetize. But in order to do that, they'll have like 50 million blogs on their website and they'll just randomly interlink. So you just go deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole of blog posts as they just link randomly amongst themselves. But with e-commerce, we need people to land on a blog post, then go from a blog post to a product page. And then hopefully we've done a good enough job on the product page to get people to check out. So instead of this spaghetti mess of internally linking, this cluster for e-commerce is slightly a bit different. I needed to just modify it a little bit. So there would be, let's say you have like a home gym niche, right? Where you sell treadmills, rowing machines, and stair climbers, okay? Hypothetically. You can have like a skyscraper piece of content for treadmills, a skyscraper piece for rowing machines, and one for stair climbers. Then each skyscraper would have...
Can I interrupt for just a second here? This is, I've heard these terms before, but I barely understand. And for those who don't know, what do you mean by skyscraper?
So a skyscraper piece of content is basically a piece of content on a specific niche or a specific concept or a specific keyword that is just bigger and better than everything else on the internet. So imagine like one big skyscraper in the city that just towers above all of the others. Basically what you would do is you go and see what's ranking for your keywords. So if you want to write like a skyscraper piece for treadmills, you go and see what's ranking on page one for treadmill, the keyword. You go and see what everybody else is writing and what Google rewards as good content. And then you just go and write a bigger and better, more valuable piece of content than everything else that you found. So you're building a bigger skyscraper. That's the sort of concept. But this one piece of content doesn't make you an authority on that specific keyword or that specific market. So what you try to do is you would then...
Can I interrupt again?
Yeah,
go for it. I've heard this before, and that terrifies me. Like, I think, like, how could I possibly write something that's better than everything else?
Well, if you're in, like, if you're in the treadmill, like, market, right? And you're selling to people, you already have probably been asked 50 times, like, the same questions all the time, or a bunch of questions. And you like, and even if you haven't, let's say you're not even familiar with a niche, you can go to a website and just, there's a website called answerthepublic.com. And it's just a free website. You just go onto the website, enter the word treadmill, if that's your niche, and it will then give you results on all of the questions asked on the internet with the word treadmill in it. And that's like years worth of content. So all you have to do is just, so what I explain in module one is basically the structure of a piece of skyscraper content. So like an introduction, table of content with jump links to certain sections of the blog, then some valuable information. And then not really like a buyer's guide, but more of a, like, you know, if it's a listicle style piece of content, it's about, you know, what type of treadmills are more suitable for your home, which are like foldable, like, you know, like can slide under your bed, or which are best if you're starting a gym, and just random, like, helpful, valuable information. And you can like highlight specific products, link to the product page. And then there's a certain way to display that sort of image and a call to action to get people to go and, you know, be curious and land on the product page. And then all of the questions, you can just make an FAQ section. And then if you can use some technical SEO to make it more favorable for people to, for Google to recognize you as an authority. So for example, if your question is like, what is the best treadmill for an apartment? Okay. I would imagine somebody asked that question. You could write the question and use like a H2 tag. So because H2 tags, when Google, you know, H2 tags are like headers, okay? So if the keyword is in the header, we're getting a little bit technical now, but if the keyword is in the header, it has a bit more weight in Google's eyes. So it's like having multiple keywords all through the content, but just one H1, just one H2 tag or H3 tag holds more sort of SEO juice. So you could ask a question with the keyword, and then you can answer the question with the keyword. And then if you have like 10, like you could call out that section of the blog could be common misconceptions about treadmills. And then you could just have like an FAQ section in the blog. So it's just all about adding helpful information and just making it bigger and better. And Google will see this as the most comprehensive, up-to-date, helpful piece of content. And then you'll just rank above everybody else. And then obviously it's not just about writing one piece of content. When you then write one piece of content and it's an epic piece of content and you're happy about it, you would then go and write a bunch of smaller secondary pieces of content on the same keyword, because you do want Google to think that your website is an authority on that specific thing, right? But how does Google then understand which piece of content to rank at the top? Because if you've got 50 pieces of content, but you just want that one skyscraper piece to rank, you then in the secondary pieces of content, you all of those secondary pieces of content link to the skyscraper. So they're like referring expertise to this other piece of content. So when Google crawls, they see all the traffic going in one way, traffic as in the linking. The internal linking tells Google, well, there's 50 pieces of content on treadmills, but 49 of them are linking to this other one. So that's the one that's the most comprehensive and that's the best. So that's the one we rank on page one. And that's how you get there. And then you get traffic. And then you could do the same sort of cluster of content with rowing machines, with stair climbers, with balance balls or whatever other equipment you have, or electric skateboards, or, you know, whatever. So that's how Google can crawl your website, recognize you as an authority on that specific topic. And you're also making it easy for Google to understand which piece of content should rank on page one. And that's the one that will print money for you then, you know, months and years later. That's module one. we could stop there. I mean, if people just do module one, they're good, right? Module two just explains some of the top level technical SEO, like, you know, where to put H2 tags inside the content, you know, just about keeping images small, you know, nothing really too technical, because I didn't understand the technical aspects and I still got away with it. So it's just sort of like a touching on some of the obvious things that you should know already. But it's a short module. Module three, if I remember the correct order, is all of the backlink strategies I do. That's a really good module. I had a lot of fun actually thinking about all of the backlink strategies I do. I even reveal how I became a contributor for Entrepreneur Magazine using, you know, to get backlinks. And that's so there's lots of value in those backlinks, because those are the backlinks that my guy, my jolly, and I work out and we figure out, we implement, and then they work. And then they went in the course because they work, and that's what we do now. Module four is Dream 100. So I think a lot of people have heard the Dream 100 before. It's the concept that I at least became aware of after reading all of Russell Brunson's books, because that's what he uses for marketing and getting outreach and collaborating with people in his space. And I only know my way because I just sort of figured out what would work for me. So it's specific to e-commerce. So in that module, I teach how people can apply a Dream 100 process to identify potential collaborations with people that you can get on their email list, people that you can use to become a recruit as an affiliate for your store, ways that you can identify guest post opportunities, other just basically people that you can associate with that will increase your credibility in the space from customers, but also in Google's eyes as well, because Google has one of Google's core principles is a thing called EAT, E-A-T. So it's Google, what they look at when they crawl your website. You have to have expertise, authority, and trustworthiness in your space. E-commerce stores find it very difficult to gain that sort of credibility. Google normally penalizes the sort of like your money or your life type websites. So buy this product or you're going to be ugly for the rest of your life sort of scenarios, you know, those sort of snake oil websites, which is weird. So they've developed this very core principle. And this isn't an algorithm. This is like evergreen. Every year, they follow this core principle. And it's the EAT. And it's even more important now because they're trying to crack down on those weird, you know, your money or your life type websites, like buy this and you'll be skinny tomorrow, you know, that sort of thing. So, and the way they do that is by recognizing the expertise and authority of who you're associated with. So if I was in the medical space, or I was doing something where, let's say going back to the sports philosophy, if I was selling treadmills and I was guest posting as like a guest contributor for, I don't know, Jogger Weekly, let's say, that would be good for me because that would increase my credibility as somebody in that space, because I'm now getting a link from Jogger Weekly magazine. And that's probably considered a good thing if that's an actual magazine, right? If I was in the medical space, like medical apparatus or something, and I was able to get a backlink from the Mayo Clinic, that's fantastic. But if I get just a bunch of links from affiliate websites trying to, you know, get commissions and saying, oh, buy this and, you know, all your illnesses will go away, not only will it not work, you'll get penalized because you're considered one of those your money or your life sort of websites. So EAT, the EAT principle that Google follows, is a very important thing to think about, especially if you're in the health and wellness niche, even if it's indirectly by like through sports. And the Dream 100 will open up a bunch of those opportunities that you can then expose, you know, and take advantage of. Those are the main four modules. I've got a few bonus modules in there, bonus videos, like some long form videos. I've got one in there that I think is worth the course itself, called How to Scale in 90 Days. It does have a very clickbaity title because, you know, it
like has some good, right?
and it's basically a process that I learned from my the coaching agency 2X that I work with. And they have this concept of you do a 90-day sprint, you cut it up into 30-day blocks, and you focus on one core principle and you just focus on that. Then you move on and then you focus on something else. And then you focus on the other, like, so it's like three blocks of 30 days. And the, like, for example, in my case, which is what I share in the course, is so as for e-commerce, how do I move the needle the most in the terms of getting more revenue and more profit? Is I focus on increasing traffic, increasing AOV, and converting and increasing conversion rate. So what I do is I have this like downloadable Excel file, very simple concept, and I focus for 30 days only on how do I increase traffic to the website. And then that itself will come up with like a 15 things to do, right? So then for 30 days, I know that I'm not going to get distracted by anything else except work on that list. And what that helps is it helps you focus on what's important that's going to move the needle, and you're not just trying to figure out every day, what should I do today? Maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll look at an email marketing thing. And then after 30 days, you move on to conversion rate. Okay, and what are all of the things that I can do to increase conversion rates? Maybe it's increasing the call to action button higher. Maybe it's improving the collection page. Maybe it's making better images. Maybe it's, you know, you do lots of things. And then that becomes your to-do list for 30 days. So you only focus on conversion rate. And then you've got 30 days left, and that's AOV. How do I increase AOV? Do I create bundles? Do I add accessories? Do I, you know, all of the things that you can do to increase AOV. And what happens is it has a, like when you go through the process, right? So there are a couple of very simple formulas in the Excel file that's there for downloading. And because it's very difficult to increase one KPI, like one core factor by like, I don't know, 100%. You can't just double your traffic, right? Or you can't just double your conversion rate or double your AOV, because it's very difficult to do. But if you just incrementally by 10 or 15 or 20% increase each one, you get double the profit at the end of the day, because it has a compound effect over. Because if you increase a little bit your traffic and a little bit your conversion rate and a little bit your AOV, the end result works out at about 2.1x of the profit and revenue. So, and it's easy, it's relatively easy to incrementally make an improvement in one area rather than trying to double it. Okay. So this process where How to Scale in 90 days is basically this concept. And this is just wonderful to watch every time you think, I don't know what I should be working on for the next 30 days. Then watch that video and go in and go, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And I've repeatedly doubled my profits and revenue by just following a very, very simple concept that we all should be doing anyway.
Yeah.
But I just sort of lay it out, so it's, you can't not do it properly just because it's, and that's just one of the bonus lessons in there. I think I've told you enough, I think.
Dude, I think maybe I need to do that. The 30-30-30.
Yeah, I think you needed it back when you had your e-com store and you were trying to get
I'm thinking back to my last quarterly meeting with Jason. Like, what are we doing? Like, we got this huge list of things. Sometimes I do this. Like, I'll go on this like highly focused, you know, few months, and then a few months of like, I don't know what I'm doing. But to have some structure back is always good.
Yeah, it's nice to know, like, you know what you're supposed to be doing for the next like day or week or month. Just sort of takes the guesswork out of it.
Yeah. So as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking like, holy crap, that's a lot of work, like all of this stuff, which of course, like, that's what you said, like, yeah, you're not getting around that. but if you want results, you got to put in the work. So for me, I was thinking like, I always encourage people to buy courses and then have their team do the work. If they have a team. So I'm thinking like, what if you were to do that approach, who would you need to have on your team? Or what do you think of that idea? Maybe hiring people specifically. Here's what I always do. When I hire people, I find young, ambitious, excited, passionate people who are like really hungry to learn. And maybe they don't have the knowledge or the skills yet. And then I'll go like, here's exactly how to do it. Like, here's this course by John. Watch the videos. I'll watch them too. We'll talk about it. And then you just go do it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I actually have one of my bonus lessons in there. It's like a sort of a longer form. Whereas I explain that the best way to utilize the course and as a business owner to not be in the weeds the whole time is go through the course from start to finish without doing anything, just go through the course. So not only do you know what you're supposed to be doing, but you know why you're supposed to be doing it, because that becomes clear, you know, over the course. And at the moment, it's only a little bit over five hours from start to finish, all of the videos combined. So you could go through the whole course. Then one of the bonus lessons is, here's the, let's say, the recruitment process I do for a writer. And I would hire the writer, and I wouldn't have to have them be an expert in SEO or have years of experience, because I'm going to send them through the course and then have them do it the way the course says. Because then if I know what they're supposed to be doing, I can measure their results. I can measure their actions. Because sometimes when you hire like an SEO that knows more than you do, you feel a little bit overwhelmed because your SEO is telling you what should be done. And you're like, that sounds clever, maybe, yeah. But if you have the course and you know what they're going to go through and that what they're supposed to then implement, you can manage them. And so I would get somebody that knows how to write, because they obviously need to be able to write interesting concepts in words on a specific topic, but they don't have to be like technically SEO sound, because they can just follow the course. So you could just hire out the whole process and then have them on your team, and then they just implement your whole organic traffic strategy for your e-commerce store.
Yeah, I like that. And actually I've been meaning to ask you, because some people, so we've just launched a recruiting service. I don't know if you even know this, if I've told you this. We do have a recruiting service now, because we've been good at finding great people, and people have just said like, gosh, this is hard. Can you just do it for me? I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? And some people have asked me, well, what about an SEO, hire someone for SEO? And I've been meaning to ask you, because I know you've done it, but there's a danger in hiring someone for SEO, right? Because, you know, they might be, you know, who knows how they've been trained, right? There's black hat, but then there's like, they call it gray hat, I guess, somewhere in between. And you don't want them doing something that you can be penalized for later on, right?
Yeah, well, hiring specifically for SEO can be a bit daunting, because most of the time, like e-commerce people or dropshippers, they don't know SEO. So it's hard to tell if the person you're hiring actually knows what they're doing. And some people will really talk a good game, you know? So there's always that sort of a, do I invest 6 months of my time, energy, and salary to this person to then find out if they know what they're doing or not? One guy actually reached out to me recently, last week. And after talking to him for a few minutes, I realized that he'd been paying for a lot of money for many months to somebody that was just getting like hundreds of backlinks a month, and they were all garbage. And he was just poised for a penalty, you know? And Now he's actually gone through the course because he's like, okay, it looks like I'm going to have to go back to the drawing board and start again. But, you know, that's a lesson, you know, that can happen. So you never really know, unless you really know what you're talking about. Like if you hire like somebody that's going to talk bookkeeping and you know bookkeeping, it's going to be easier to have a conversation. But if somebody needs to hire an SEO because they don't know SEO, it's hard to know whether you're hiring the right person or not. So you can, so if you, you know, it's hard to advise that sort of thing. You could use an agency to hire like vetted people with specific skills. But even if you don't know what SEO is, or you've outsourced the whole process, how do you even manage them? How do you measure their results? How do you, you know? So it becomes a bit vague. I think with a course though, if you know that this person is going to go through the course and implement everything in the course and you've gone through the course as well, it sort of takes some of the guesswork out because they either did it or they didn't do it, you know? So it's, it's hard to hire for somebody and you're not an expert. So it's hard to test them, you know?
So if you were going to hire someone to go through your course, would you just need one person, a writer?
Yeah, I would hire a writer because in the past I've hired an SEO and they were technically very good, but they also had their very specific way of approaching things. So I wouldn't say that they were unteachable, but they were already they'd already defined their skills. So that was their approach and that's how they would do it. And that was fine because that's what I was looking for at the time. But if I was looking for somebody to take somebody on and to just start the whole organic traffic from scratch, I would just get a writer, go through the course and have them figure out what the SEO aspects are important for e-commerce, because most of the SEOs on the market now, it's not necessarily e-commerce. That's a smaller portion of the overall market. Most of them are familiar with writing for blogs or for affiliate marketing. And again, if they don't know that they need to be linking in a specific way internally from a secondary piece of content to the main piece of content, they could just be doing the affiliate method and then just randomly spaghetti linking all over the place, because for them, time on site is very important, but for us, it's not. Because if we have people bouncing on between 7 or 8 different pieces of blog posts, but they never reach a product page, they're never going to make a purchase. So it's easy. I think it would be better to get somebody ambitious that knows how to write a little bit and then sort of mold them into what you need them to do and then just let them run with it.
Gotcha. Awesome, man. Well, we've been talking a while here. We've gone a bit long. This has been really cool. It's great to hear an update from you and, of course, hear what you're doing now. What do you call this course, by the way?
It's so I settled on Ecom SEO Formula.
Awesome.
Because it's my Ecom SEO formula, so I figured that works.
Cool. Well, I guess... let's have you come back and I mean, I love getting updates, hearing from you. It's really cool to hear like all the new things you're doing. Congrats on the new house. Sorry to hear about your dog.
You too.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for today. It's great to be back. I'm saying this from the past into the future. I'm really, this is now November. It's been a while since we've released new episodes. I'm really excited to be back into it here for the new year. Thanks, John. We'll definitely have you back on at some point to give an update. And we'll tell everybody where they can get your new course. As you can tell, I'm super excited to see what people do with it. So if you do go get join John's course, let me know. Come tell me how it goes after you implement. Of course, I'm sure he'll want to know, but I would like to know too.
Cool.
Thanks a lot, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay. Thanks so much for listening. And just as a reminder, if you do want to check out John's course that we've been talking about, you can head on over to ecomseomethod.com. Again, that's ecomseomethod.com. And if you want to get the free emails, which take you step by step through the process of whether it's starting SEO from nothing or going from wherever you are now and improving on your SEO, you can get that series of emails by just going to summitecommerce.co/SEO month. All right, again, that's summitecommerce.co/SEO month. I don't see any reason not to do that. Head on over there now, and we'll deliver some really great stuff to your inbox. Thanks so much, and I'll see you next time.